Hey, what's going on, you sluts? It's been a week. No, it hasn't. It's been 6 days, because I uploaded the last one a day late, because I was still feeling ill. Feeling much better now. I had a weird sneezing fit. Do you guys ever have those? Like, you sneeze... People have a standard sneeze amount, is my understanding. Most people sneeze twice, where they go, achoo, achoo. Thanks for acting that out, Taylor, you fucking idiot. Most people sneeze twice, and that's a set of sneezes. Some people have three sneeze sets, and you notice they sneeze a little quicker, like, choo, choo, choo. And then it's like, oh, bless you, bless you, bless you. And then sometimes you just go off the fucking rails on a sneeze binge. And that's what happened to me this morning when I was driving back on the highway from dropping Melissa off at work, because she's been having some fucking car trouble. So I ended up having to get up early and spend a 2-hour round trip getting her to work in St. Louis morning traffic and then back in St. Louis morning traffic. I hit traffic both ways. Woohoo. But on the way back, I damn near killed myself or someone else when I think I didn't start counting until about probably halfway through the sneezing fit, but every like 15 to 20 seconds for, what was it? I guess if I counted 8 of them, and that was like halfway through, I sneezed like 16 times in like 5 minutes or 4. Like, it was getting to the point that my eyes were closed from sneezing as much as they were open for watching the road. And it was really dangerous, and it made me wonder, like, you know how you hear about those fuckers who it's like, James Osborne, he's sneezed for 70 years, you know, it's crazy, you know, don't eat dinner with him, you know. Always be sure to go before him when you eat at Chipotle or anywhere like that. That sneeze guard has no match for him. Always made me wonder how those people function. Like, would you rather sneeze for like 50 years or hiccup? That'd be so horrible. I guarantee I'd kill myself within the first decade. But I've had the hiccups before. When I get the hiccups, I get them maybe twice a year, and when I do get them, they are horrific. Like, they are awful. They last hours upon hours upon hours, and they do not go away. The worst I ever had the hiccups, I was like 19 or 20. I was at a buddy's house drinking. We were on, like, I guess Christmas break from college, and just chilling out, playing some poker, drinking. Not like a party atmosphere, anybody getting tanked or anything. And I just started getting hiccups, and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, fuck, fuck. Like, people were joking around with me, like, fucking with me, because they thought that I was being hyperbolic about my reaction to getting the hiccups. But no, I was like, god damn it, fuck, the whole night shot. It was, like, probably 11 o'clock at that time. I started getting the hiccups, just the like, my hiccups are pretty loud and awful sounding. And we keep playing. Eventually, my buddy is like, dude, your hiccups are really starting to sound awful and they're bothering me. I'm going to go upstairs, because it was his house, and I'm going to get some medicine or something and, you know, numb your throat or something like that. And I was like, whatever, like, enough of a buzz on to just not really care. He came back down with like a palm full of pills. Like, I didn't know what any of them were at all. No idea. And he gave them to me, and he's like, oh, those should help. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I just took it, swallowed them down, gulped them down. And like half an hour later, I started to feel really, really weird. And I was like, dude, Hayden, what pills did you give me? And he was like, I gave you like 5 melatonins and then like a couple of those NyQuil tabs and, something else and something else. I was like, god damn it, dude. Like, I'm starting to feel really fucking weird. Like, I'm getting dizzy. Like, I feel like a weird kind of high. It was really uncomfortable, and I didn't care for it. Like, with NyQuil shit like that, like, you're not supposed to be fucking drinking and taking NyQuil. What was he thinking, giving me those? And what was I thinking, not asking him what they were? I figured they were just, like those, like, cough drop looking things, but they were not. So I kept feeling weird. I laid down to go to bed. And meanwhile, throughout this whole thing, I'm hiccuping loudly. Loudly enough that other people have left the basement. Like, we were supposed to crash there because nobody's going to be driving, because we weren't going to be stupid. We're supposed to crash in his basement. And everybody else had gone up to sleep on the shitty, awful couches upstairs. And I got the gigantic, nice couches downstairs to myself, because no one could bear to be next to me for more than, like, 5 seconds without being like, god damn, this is fucking annoying. I woke up the next morning after passing out into some sort of like cryogenic freeze style sleep, because of all those pills. Like I don't remember like what my dream was, but I remember I had a really weird dream, and I woke up and I was like, oh my God, thank God that those hiccups are over. Oh, at least those pills worked. And I get up to go to the bathroom and I'm like washing my hands, taking a pee. And as I'm looking in the mirror, I just hear one more and I see myself go like a hiccup. And I'm like, oh my God, it's not over. Are you fucking shitting me? It's been 14 hours and I still have the goddamn hiccups. And as I hiccuped, I spit into the sink and there was blood in my spit. And I was talking to my friends who could barely sleep upstairs. Because like, dude, you were hiccuping all goddamn night for 14 hours. Like 16 hours if you want to go back all the way to when they started yesterday. But Jesus fuck, dude. Like, you need to go to the doctor or something. And I was like, no, no, they'll go away soon. As I like kept going to the bathroom every 3 minutes to spit some blood in there. So all this to say, yeah, my hiccups get pretty fierce and awful. And why the hell did I go off on that little rabbit hole? Nobody cares. Nobody cares, Taylor. What the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah, so I would have to pick sneezes because nothing makes me panicky and feel as bad as hiccuping and not knowing how to make it stop. I don't know. I don't know why that makes me so panicky or so stressed out, rather. You know another thing that stresses me out? Perfect transition, Taylor. The fact that the fucking Rams left. So for those of you who don't follow the NFL, the National Football League, here in the U.S. of A, and I mean, most of you, even if you don't follow it, I'm sure that you're aware of some teams and the basic structure and how it works. If you're in the U.K., maybe hop onto like ESPN.com and check there. Maybe it'll make it a bit easier for you to follow. I don't know. I don't know why I'm assuming that you guys are listening to this just sitting around. You're probably in your car or something. Who knows? So the Rams fucking left. Our piece of shit owner who owned the Rams. The Rams, first of all, are the NFL team in St. Louis. They were here. Stan Kroenke, that cunt fuck asshole. God, I hope he gets butthole cancer tomorrow. That's not a joke. If it was trending on Twitter, hashtag Kroenke butthole cancer, you know, hashtag pray for Kroenke or whatever. No, fuck that guy. I hope that butthole cancer spreads. I hope it takes its sweet time killing you, you fuck. I hope it doesn't metastasize too quickly. No, 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 cancer. Take your time. Why rush to the liver? Ho, ho. Why go to the pancreas? Pancreatic cancer, that'll kill him too soon. Let's just seep around. Let's give him really gross, weird melanoma sores all over his body. Like those moles that are all over his face, and they're like clearly a malignant tumor, but you can't just like go in there and gouge it out for some reason because there's a bunch of like gross thick cancer veins in it. I don't know, now I'm just being needlessly disgusting, but I hate that fucker. He got rid of our team here, and I know you can say, because some of you are from LA, we're gonna be like, oh, we had the Rams first, and it's like, well, yeah, you did, but then we got them because you guys fucked it up in your city. There was so much corruption and garbage that the Rams had to move from LA to St. Louis in 1995, and we had them. We had the greatest show on turf, won the Super Bowl in 99. We've been complete dog shit for the last decade or so, if not more than that. I think, yeah, since like 2003 or something, we've been not good. But either way, the whole reason we're moving isn't because of a bunch of corruption and nonsense and bullshit. It's because our owner is a asshole who just wants to go to LA to make more money that he can't spend in the first place because he's already so old. It's like, you're a billionaire. You're one of the richest NFL team owners. You own the Colorado Avalanche. You own a hockey team and an NFL team. Do you have to move it to LA? Do you have to give LA the Chargers and the Rams so that all those fucking bandwagon LA fans can just jump onto a new one? You know, whatever team's better next year, that's the one that's making all the money, because God fucking knows that LA isn't going to stick by a bad team. You know, when's the last time you heard anybody talking about, or I guess, when did you hear anyone giving two shits about the Kings unless Gretzky was playing for them or they had just won the cup in 2012? Nobody talks about it. It's the exact same situation as the fucking Chicago Blackhawks before 2010. I remember because I was a hockey fan before then. Nobody gave a shit about the Kings. Every once in a while, you would see a rapper wearing a hat or a guy in a Kings jersey that said Gretzky on the back. That was pretty much it for the most part. You know, not very fanatical fans who were really into it. Then they win the cup, and of course, everybody gives a shit. Even worse for Chicago, they win the cup. Everybody gives a shit all of a sudden. Now I'm just being a grouch. Just being a grouch right now. I'm just bitter that the Blues haven't won and that the Blues have fallen completely to garbage in the last month or so. We're terrible now. We're still, you know, doing well. We have a lot of points. We're not going to miss the playoffs or anything, I don't think. But Jesus fucking Christ, we lost to the Carolina Hurricanes last night, 4-1. Like, that's the team that you forget even exists, much less, you know, losing to them 4-1. That's horrific. Yeah, hopefully we fire our coach. Been real tired of it. Stamkos and Drouin, whatever, from the LA, or Tampa Bay Lightning are on the trading block. Hopefully we can get something for them without having to trade away Fabry, our good rookie, or Shattenkirk, one of our top D guys. I don't know. Hopefully it turns around soon because it's been really fucking depressing watching these games. They're just awful, and I have no hope as long as Hitchcock is coaching, because he's just... if you were going to win by now, Hitch, you would have won. You've had excellent, top-notch teams under you for years now, and you have frittered it away, you know? And I can't blame it all on him, actually, because the Blues lose in the fucking first or second round of the playoffs every year, even though they made it, like, 26 years in a row. Like, it's almost a statistical anomaly that they haven't made it further. Like, if you randomly did it, I'm sure they would have won a cup by now, because they've been in the fucking playoffs so many times. But, of course not. Of course not. That's just good old St. Louis luck. All of our luck goes into baseball and the Cardinals being incredible, and all the other sports teams just suck cock. Anyway, this all spurred from the fact, fuck Kroenke or Kroenke, whatever you pronounce his name, and him ripping on St. Louis. Oh, I don't think they can support three professional teams here. You know, they're already supporting the Blues and the Cardinals. Who knows if they can support the St. Louis Rams, even though they have been for 20 years. You know, who knows? Who knows if they can support a third team? I mean, they are a bigger city than fucking Denver, and Denver has like five teams. But oh, St. Louis, they might not be able to handle it. Like, fuck you, dude. We've been handling it. We can handle that team. You're just being an asshole that won't just admit that you are a money-grubbing whore, and so you keep trying to outsource responsibility and make shit up about why you have to leave. At least just admit it and say, yes. Yes, I have a tiny little cock, and nobody loves me, which is why I had to move the Rams to L.A., even though I already have billions of dollars, because I can't keep my fucking wife in this dead bedroom relationship where she just has to look at my feeble little billionaire cock and then wonder how I didn't amount to more. And so I have to move the Rams to L.A. to garner a little bit of her favor so she's not mad at me for maybe a 10-minute stretch in our awful, awful relationship, you know, just biding my time until I die and then give all the money to her for her to blow. I don't know anything about this guy's personal life, but I really don't care for him, and I hope that butthole cancer arrives soon. Oh my god, what the fuck? That went off the rails. I need Melissa here to keep me on track. We were talking on PKA about camp stories, like shit that happened at camp when we were all little, and I mentioned a couple, and just last night afterward, I was just, you know, musing about it, thinking about other camp stories and whatnot, and I did think of a couple more, so I will relay those to you now. So one of the things we're talking about was pranks. If you guys have good pranks, let me know in the comments or whatever, or email me about it, because I think those stories are so fucking funny. I love reading about, like, kids doing tomfoolery and nonsense. Pardon me. So, basically, when I was 14 at the time, I went to this camp, and it was a Christian camp. So, what they did is it started out where you would, I got conscripted into it by a friend who told me it was a ton of fun. And looking back, I should have been less of a retard and realized, hey, the reason this friend is telling you that this camp is a bunch of fun is because this friend is wrist deep in Jesus, you know, twice a week for church and Wednesday night Bible study. Maybe you don't want to get into this because you're not as into that scene as him, and it kind of makes you uncomfortable. But I didn't think about that. I just thought, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, Ted, sure. I'll go to the camp. I'll go with you. It's only a week during the summer. What the fuck can happen that's wrong, you know? And he was like, oh, yeah, and we do pranks, and we, like, play games, and it's so much fun. What he didn't mention is that, like, by pranks and games, he meant, like, stupid little Christian games where it was like every once in a while you could play fucking kickball at their rec center they had there at this shitty little camp in mid-Missouri. But for the most part, it was like playing stupid capture the flag objectives where before you even started the game, it wasn't like 3, 2, 1, go. Yeah, come on, blue team. Let's fucking go. And, you know, like having a bunch of fun. It was like, you know, as we're playing capture the flag, we just need to think about, you know, God capturing our minds and our hearts. You know, when we go back out of this camp, we need to bring the light of Jesus with us. Can you give that to me, kids? Can you tell me you want to bring the light of Jesus with you? Like, it was like, oh. It was so uncomfortable and horrible. I mean, if you're like 13 or 14 looking at adults being like, you're full of shit, then, you know, you probably shouldn't be around drinking that Kool-Aid. So those were the kind of games we had to do where they would tie everything into Jesus. You know, it was, you guys know what I'm talking about. If you've been to these camps, if you've been to these religious camps, everything under the fucking sun has to be tied back to Jesus. You know, you could be getting their disgusting slop food in the mess hall, and they'd be like, here's your mashed potatoes. You know what mashed potatoes are similar to? They're similar to fish. They're both food. They both have a soft texture, and only one of them, Jesus multiplied and fed a bunch of hungry Jews, you know? Hungry Jews and Arabs surrounded him on a hill. He fed them with fish and bread. That's what you want, Jesus, don't you? That's what you want. You want 6,000 people in a, you know, one square football field sized area on a hill, and all of them get all you can eat fish. Is that what you want, Jesus? You trying to blow out every sewer system in fucking Nazareth? You asshole. What a troll. What a complete troll, feeding them like rye bread and unlimited fish, then sending them back home to just be seeping out that oily shit into their desert home floor. You know, I don't imagine that they had any carpet or hardwood. Yeah, what a troll, you know, thumbs up, Jesus. Didn't even multiply Pepto-Bismol for him. God, what a stupid joke thing to say. Anyway, so one of the pranks, I was in a cabin where there were like 8 young guys, virile, young, nubile young men, and we were all in our bunks and everything one night, and my buddy Joe was like, I'm gonna go prank the cabin next to us. And the way it worked is you could leave the cabin and then go outside and go through the front door of the adjacent cabin, or you could go through this big center bathroom area and just go back around and then enter their back door. And so that's what he did. He went through their back door, not in the middle of the night when they were still asleep. He waited until they called, like, their midnight meeting. Every once in a while they would do some stupid shit like, oh, midnight meeting, and, like, ring a bunch of bells and ring your cabin doorknob or whatever the fuck they had, the knockers. And then everybody would have to go out to the football field that was right outside all the dorms, and they would do something stupid. One time during one of those, they found out, or I guess the subsequent one of these, when they found out what Joe had done, they made us run like 3 miles in our pajamas at midnight in the middle of Missouri. And it took a while, and they were yelling at us. And it was like, looking back, it's like, what the fuck? Like, they didn't like that there was a prank done, so they made us run. They made all of us run like 3 miles at midnight. Like, from midnight until 1 for some kids, because there were some big, fat fucking kids that couldn't run, so they had to walk around until they finished, or eventually the counselors got so tired, they're like, ah, jeez, just head in, you big, fat load of garbage. But the prank that inspired them to do that, when one of the other midnight meetings, and they were telling us about Jesus and all that shit, he stayed in the cabin and then went into their adjacent cabin, and he did not like the counselor that was staying in that room at all with those kids. And so he peed, like a big, giant pee, apparently. I wasn't there to measure the volume, but by what the counselor described later, when he was trying to unearth who had done this unforgivable wrong, it was like soaking wet. He just pissed and soaked this counselor's sleeping bag, top to bottom, just put his dick in one end and just filled her up. And so that counselor was livid about that. That wasn't even so much of a prank as it was just a mean-spirited thing, you know? Like, a prank is, like, you run in there and you maybe, like, smack them with something real quick, and it's like, ah, I gotcha, and then you run back out and that's it. Or you, like, do the whipped cream thing on your hand and you smack your face, and it's like, oh-ho, you appear quite the fool. But just pissing in somebody's belongings, that's not so much a prank as it is a crime. What else did we do there? There was, this same kid, actually. And before you can come ask, no, this is not the poop bandit. This is years before the poop bandit. And it has nothing to do with poop, just another rabble-rouser. There was a handicapped kid, not handicapped. When I say handicapped, I picture someone like Jimmy from South Park, where he has the leg braces, but he's still mentally sound. No, this kid was retarded, and he was still at the camp. I don't know why the fuck they let this retarded kid in the camp. Like, some camps, it's like, yeah, anyone can come, you know, whatever, you know, go hog wild. And this is a different camp, by the way. This is a sports camp that I went to. And so I was like, all right, well, why the hell is this retarded kid coming to sports camp? There's no good ending to this. Worst case scenario is he realizes that everybody else is not retarded and better at sports than him, and he feels awful. And then he gets involved in a sport, and his retard strength just, like, tears some girl's fingernails out or something awful. And best case scenario is he kind of just ruins the sport for the kids playing, because they're like, all right, we're going to do some 5-on-5 basketball. We got Steve, Richard, Alan, and Alex on that team. And then, Joey, stop eating those crayons. You're going to be on their team too. Yeah. Hey guys, stop groaning, you know, stop groaning. What would Jesus do? Oh God, all of these Jesus camps. I got so tired of it. But we played a huge game of Capture the Flag one night, and this was so much better than that other camp that I went to, but still not great. And one of my acquaintances, not a good friend, lied to the retarded kid who was on our team and told him a different set of parameters for how far you could travel and how far you could, like, go to find the flag. And he told the retarded kid, he told him the complete, like, wrong 90 degrees to the left, I guess, or the east of where the flag actually was. And it wasn't like a football field sized thing, so the you could be on one side of this field and have no, you wouldn't see the flag that you had to capture. It was so big of a field that you could not look at. There were some points in the field where you couldn't look and see either flag, like, and the flags were hidden. It was like there were rules about where you could hide them, but they weren't just sitting out on a pole in front. And so he convinced this retarded kid that the flag was way the fuck far away. The kid left. We all forgot about it. It wasn't my responsibility. I wasn't even there when this happened. I just came back, and then this kid told me what he had done, sending the retarded kid on a goose chase. And I thought, oh, that's pretty funny. And then we continued to play. It wasn't until the game ended like 90 minutes later that everybody was getting ready to go in, and the tard wrangler had no idea where this kid was, and she was starting to freak out because it was her responsibility, which it was her fault in the first place. You can't be letting this this, you know, mentally challenged kid walk around with a bunch of deviant children and just hope that they don't take advantage of him for some reason. Of course they will. They're going to send him on a goose chase into the middle of the woods in the middle of Missouri at night. And so they had to call the police, and the police showed up at, like, I guess 1 a.m, and they had to search the woods for, I don't know how long it took them, honestly. We all just went back and went to bed. Like, we were too young to think about the ramifications of what could have happened. Like, what if he had fallen in a pit, or what if a mountain lion had, not a mountain lion, a cougar, which is the same thing as a fucking mountain lion. But there are mountain lions, strangely enough, in that area in mid-Missouri. You know, there's black bears, there's mountain lions, rattlesnake could have got them. So yeah, we didn't really think about it, but yeah, the kid could have died if he had just been out there and something had gone wrong and nobody found him in time. But they did find him, wandering next to a highway, apparently, and, he wasn't even pissed about it. He, according to what the counselor said, he was still, like, in his mind, playing Capture the Flag, and nothing had gone wrong. So apparently he just had a good night, kind of by himself, exploring. So if that's the worst that it is, then, you know, it was a pretty good night. That story really, really dies off in the end, you know? Once the retarded kid goes wandering, there's not much else to look forward to. Sorry about that. Anywho, I was trying to think of more camp stories. What else? This girl got kicked out of that same sports camp. It was a co-ed sports camp. I went back, like, 2 years later because I had to, because my parents were making me go, because, I don't know why they wanted me to go to some religious camp every summer, but they did. Probably because they were religious, Taylor. Wow, fucking, you know, riddle me that. And I went there, and this girl got kicked out for having lesbian sex on the blob in the middle of the night, and she got caught by one of the counselors who was patrolling the area. If you don't know what the blob is, it's that thing that you see on YouTube where, you know, it'll be some giant stand, and there's some big fat guy about to jump off this 20-foot-high stand onto this giant, what basically looks like a huge pillow inflated with air, and on the far end of the pillow, somebody's sitting there, and so when the big fat fuck jumps and hits the close end of the pillow, it compresses that area and expands the area on the other side and shoots the guy way up into the air, you know, and it's a woo, it's so much fun. Or it can be so much fun if you're someone who doesn't weigh much and you have a lot of fat friends, because otherwise it's really pathetic. So, yeah, that girl, actually both girls, I only knew one of them, so I don't know about the story of the other girl, but none of us knew that they were gay at the time, or actually they probably weren't even gay. You know, they were chicks who were, like, what, 15? So that at that point in life, and even, like, at any point in life, it seems like chicks can just, like, fluidly, like, move around. Like, oh, yeah, I'm straight, I like dick, but, you know, I'll just, you know, get a little drunk and then go make out with her, and then we'll grab each other's tits. And it's kind of accepted, as it should be. I really don't give a fuck, but it's just weird how, like, you never see a gay guy be like, you know what, I'm just going to give it a go. I'm going to try pussy tonight, you know? Yeah, I'm gonna give it a go. I'm gonna try it. I can do this. Like, you never hear that. The only, like, fluidness you hear, and you also never hear straight guys. Like, you know what? Yeah, Ted is a cute guy. I'm gonna give a few shots at me, and I'm gonna go kiss him. I'm gonna go kiss him, and then we're gonna give mutual hand jobs in the bathroom. That never happens. But chicks, can't count the number of times I've seen not even drunk, hammered girls, just like they get a couple drinks in them enough to like have plausible deniability if something went wrong the next morning, to be like, oh my god, I was so fucking wasted. I had like 3 shots of red wine. And they'll just go up and start making out and doing it for attention, I guess. But these two weren't doing it for attention because they were trying to hide it. Yeah, they were having lesbian sex, I guess, on the blob, and then they both got kicked out of camp, and the one who I did know as, even saying I knew her is way too much credit to myself or to our relationship. I was like an acquaintance of, she was an acquaintance of a friend that I like talked to briefly. But I just knew that when we woke up and she wasn't there to hang out at all that day, it was because, Samantha had been sent home for lesbian sex at a Christian camp, which is really uncomfortable because you know that your parents, when they pick you up from that camp, are not going to be enthused. They're not going to be enthused and they're not going to be happy to have that conversation with you on the way back about how it's wrong and against God's will to, you know, to lick clam if you are if you're a chick, you know? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what any of this means? Are you following this? Because all of these all have a common theme. There's a common message there. I'm not going to spoil it for you. You know, you guys have to look into it and find your own because, I don't know. I'm going down the rabbit hole. All those Christian camps, those are way more damaging for kids than people realize, I think. Because it's not until you're like, it's not until you're old enough to really cogently and soundly think for yourself that you can see through all the bullshit that is put in front of you at places like that. Because, looking back, you can see something, like, I can make fun of it now as something silly, where I could be like, oh man, you know, don't you remember when we would, when we were like 11 years old at that camp and we would go eat breakfast and then they would, before we could go on the jet ski or whatever, jet ski, like we had fucking jet skis, before we could go on the paddle boat, we would have a devotion and he would tell us, you know, you don't want to do this or you'll go to hell. And we were like, oh, ha, like that's so silly. Of course we're not going to go to hell. We're good Christian boys and girls. But looking back, like, that's so fucked up. Like, that's such a fucked up thing to tell kids, or even imply to kids, that for some reason, by virtue of their very birth, they're going to burn in hell for all eternity, and there's nothing they can do about it, except, drumroll, there's this guy. There's this guy, and he sacrificed himself to circumvent his own justice thousands of years ago, to get around a system that he created that was inherently flawed, that he's somehow not blamable for, which is weird. Yeah, I really don't like that. I would never send my kid to a religious camp. I hope none of you would either. It's really just a shitty thing to do. You know? Giving that much authority to some other adult that doesn't even know your fucking kid to teach them the supposed, you know, life lessons that they need to know to not burn for all eternity. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think this has been said 100 million times since the advent of the internet, because the internet has really opened up people's eyes to how fucked up this shit can be. But it's like, I don't know. The more I look back on all the nonsense that I was told, all of the guilt that was levied at me throughout my childhood. Like, I remember at one of those camps, it was the first year that I had gone there, and what was it? Oh, yeah, I was, like, maybe 9 years old or something, and one of the counselors was being kind of snarky, and we were leaving the mess hall to go back and play a game, and they drove by on their golf cart and zoomed right by us, and I jumped on the back of it real quick, and they were like, hey, get off, you can't be riding on this, and I was like, kiss my butt. And I was 9. Kiss my butt is what I said. I remember explicitly that I said kiss my butt, not kiss my ass or anything, because I was 9, and particularly because they made me go into this back room with this counselor, and he talked to me about how that was disrespectful to the camp counselors, and that I needed to apologize to them, and that I was lucky that they weren't going to call my parents, saying that I had told an authority figure, a man of God, so to speak, to kiss my butt. Which, I don't know what that has to do with anything in this story. It was just fucking weird that they cared that much about what a fucking 9-year-old has to say. Isn't that kind of telling, you know? Like, if your worldview is so fragile and delicate and just, like, a quail's egg of sturdiness, that if a child tells you to kiss his butt, that you're like, oh, no respect in this generation. No one respects God. Sorry that was so loud. Jesus Christ, I'm going to lose my voice again. I don't know how I'm going to fucking lose my voice again. I haven't even been talking that much. Or I guess I always talk a reasonable amount. Pardon me. So, what the fuck else was I going to talk about? I guess that's about it. Yeah. So, if you're going to go to... Lesson of the week. If you're going to go to camp, make sure that you vet the camps beforehand. Make sure that they're not religious camps, because those are terrible and uncomfortable and awful. If you do go to a camp... I don't think I've ever had a really excellent camp experience. So I was about to launch into, like, advice on how to pick camps, but I can't even do that because I've never had a fun camp experience is like an overnight camp experience, you know? Like, I'm envious of people who are like, oh yeah, went to summer camp and I lost my virginity there. Like, it was so cool. And then we just fucked for a few days in between nasty little chicken patty sandwiches and old potatoes at the mess hall. I'm really jealous of that, because I wanted a story like that. None of that fucking happened for me. No cool stories for my camp. Anyway, let's see what questions we got for this week. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to hold off, do a two-parter, like I said I was going to do. Don't want to be a liar. And I'm going to see if Melissa will join me on the second half of this and answer questions, since I think that she does a good job balancing out my opinions and responses to you guys. So hopefully that works out and she's willing to do it. If not, you guys will find out in the next couple seconds whether or not she decided to join me. All right. So I left off talking about fucking nothing, camp stories and whatnot. And,
ew.
What?
Camping.
No, camp as in, like, when I went to these stupid Christian camps when I was younger.
Ew.
And
that's worse than camping.
Yeah, it was, like, you'd have to be singing all the time, talking about Jesus, do devotions, memorize verses.
God.
Softly masturbate your camp counselors if they told you that Jesus told them to, or the Holy Spirit was instructing him that way.
Ew. Gross.
You know, but you learn something. No, you don't. It was awful. So, you know that Melissa's here willing to answer some questions now, so let's get on to some of those and see what we got. We're gonna start off with some patrons, if you'd like to be a patron. Oh, and real quick, I was bitching and moaning and making fun of Los Angeles fans, because I'm jealous about the success of the Kings and the fact that they stole the Rams back from us. But I'm not actually, like, you're not bad people. For the
yeah,
most
they
part.
Are.
Well, you know, I'd say it's a good 60-40 split. Or actually, what percentage of LA people don't listen to this podcast? That percent. That's the shit part. all right.
No, Californians just suck.
I've never been there, but I've heard less than flattering things.
I've been there plenty of times, and all the people that moved to Idaho from California just suck, and they're making Idaho suck.
Yeah. Idaho was so, it was the cool state before the Californians started moving in.
No, they're just, I don't like them.
I know. There's so many, it's weird. I didn't know there was, like, self-hating Californians, but all the people from California that I met in Idaho, so many of them were, like, prematurely apologizing, like, yeah, I'm from San Diego, I know, like, I'm not like that, I promise. And it was like, I'm from fucking St. Louis, man, I have no idea what your stereotype is, like, you've been fine so far, whatever. Anyway, so, patron questions. If you are a $5 and up or $10 and up patron, you get a guarantee of these being answered on the show by me and Melissa. Hey, Taylor, big fan from Kuwait. Kuwait, that's very far away. It's so far away that I'm going to Google it so that I can just reaffirm the knowledge that I already know where it is. Of course, it's in the Middle East. I mean, capital city of Kuwait City. I could have guessed that. Kuwait City. That was my bullshit thing, like, when you were in third grade and you had to take the quiz and it was like, what's the capital of Montana? It's like, Montana City. And, like, you just... that's what we did. That's what I did, rather. So
how many times
Kuwait,
did you get it wrong?
No, I did great. I know all the states and capitals. Test me.
North Dakota.
Bismarck. That might be South Dakota, actually. Whatever. I don't know all the Dakotas. All the capitals. Kuwait. Country in the Middle East, population of 3.369 million. That's a really small country. That's really cool that someone from way over there in the Middle East is listening. Now, don't lick my arm while we're doing this. Big fan from Kuwait. Got a couple questions for you. Choose any you deem suitable. Where do you see the Truly Terrible podcast going in the future? Do you plan on promoting it, perhaps by ads on other podcasts? No, I don't plan on promoting it on any other podcasts. I haven't even thought, I mean, except for PKA, like I'll mention it on PKA once in a blue moon, and request and be like, hey, can I get my link to the description to fucking my channel in the description? And sometimes that ends up there. Sometimes it doesn't, but I'm not going to throw a fit if, you know, it doesn't show up in the description when I want it to be. I don't think it makes that big of a difference anyway. No plans to promote it. Have you considered adding a patron level, something around $150, and you'd spend one night a month with those patrons playing games? I'd definitely be down for that. If you decide to do this, let us know what games you'll be willing to play and on what consoles. Yeah, man, I can do that. Like, it takes me like 10 minutes to set up a new patron level. So yeah, I can throw one up like that and see if anyone cares. Maybe I'll do 100. You said 150. I don't know. I'll have to see. Yeah, I could add that if that's something you want. You're from Kuwait, so I imagine that you've got a lot of oil money. Probably. Wouldn't you imagine that?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? It's the Middle East. Like, for all I know, I'm talking to the Prince of Kuwait.
That'd be cool.
It seems like everybody from over there is a prince or some kind of sheik.
Okay.
How many harems of women do you have? anyway, so, yeah, I'll do that. Am I the asshole? I started watching PKA roughly around episode 60. Since then, I have watched every PKA multiple times. Despite having the money to do so, I have never been a patron. Does this make me an asshole? You'll be happy to know that you took my Patreon virginity. No, it doesn't make you an asshole. You're patroning me. I'm objectively the person that everyone should be patroning. So you're not an asshole. Hypothetical situation here. Woody and Kyle quit PKA. They tell you can continue to do the show and bring in any new host you want. Who do you bring in? What do you think, Liz? Would you be down to do PKA with me?
Well, yeah.
If Woody and Kyle quit, but then
it wouldn't be PKA.
No, it would just be me and you, and
That'd
I would.
Be odd.
I'd find somebody
weird.
Else to. I don't even know enough YouTubers to get someone involved. You know, like I used to know quite a few. Maybe like Tucker, he's cool.
It'd be difficult doing with other people, because people, they don't. want to say much to me because I'm a girl and I'm your girlfriend.
What are you talking about?
They can't give me shit. I mean, Woody was talking about lawnmowers on PK when I was on it, and I'm like, I don't know what to say about your lawnmower.
Melissa, there's a huge cabal of lawnmower fanatics that follow us. We have to appease that demographic.
Well,
I'm kidding. That nobody cares. Nobody fucking cares about lawnmowers. I was like, you went
to the bathroom, and they were talking about lawnmowers, and I just kind of sat there. I'm like, okay.
Every time topics like that come up on PKA where we talk about mics, we talk about lawnmowers, we talk about trucks or just fucking anything like that, I'm always like, I have nothing to contribute. All I do is try and like throw a joke in that sends it in a different direction, but most of the time it'll be like, oh haha, Taylor, you goof. Well, anyway, the Mach 61 John Deere, you know, it really slices that grass up, and it's like, oh my god, who fucking cares? Who cares about this? Who cares about lawnmowers? Nobody. Nobody cares about lawnmowers. I don't know. I remember lawnmower talk. Some people like the pick the girl game listening to it, but I don't understand why they do, because it would be hard to follow on audio.
I mean, I just, like, why would I want to play that game? Because I didn't.
No? Yeah.
Not with normal girls, anyway. I'd rather do it with models, like, oh yeah, they're all average looking. Like, I don't want to rate average looking girls. I want to rate hot models. And Victoria's Secret models, because then it's interesting, because then you're, like, criticizing nearly perfect-looking people, and that's funny.
I don't even want to do... Well, I mean, it's just there's not that much... Like, as far as humor goes, like, it doesn't have that... That bit doesn't have that many legs, you know?
It does if you're talking about celebrities.
If you're talking about celebrities, maybe. If you're talking about, like, average or really, really attractive people, you can go over the top making fun of them, saying that they're ugly sows who should be, you know, genocided and shot in the back of the head or whatever you want to say, something horrible about an attractive person to the point that it's just absurd. And that's, like, the only route you can go. Like, other than that, it's like, oh, yeah, I'd fuck her, right? Ha! And it's like, okay, like, that's... Where do we go from here? Like, what's the next step? Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't even continue PKA, I don't think. There would be no point. Like, Woody and Kyle are the lifeblood of PKA.
Bring
They've been
back
on it
wings.
The whole time. Yeah, just be, it would just be me and Wings. Me and Wings and, who else do Kyle and Woody not care for? No, they like Wings. I mean, like, who do they not, like, who do they dislike? They like, that was the wrong way to phrase it. They like Wings. I like Wings. I was trying to think of someone who they dislike, so it would almost be like a spit in the face to them to put... Keemstar. They really hate that guy. I'd bring him on the show. Me, Keemstar, and Wings. Like, just like almost like a slap in the face, PK. No, I wouldn't do that.
Why do you talk about people you hate?
What?
Why do you talk about people you hate?
I'm not talking about people I hate. I'm talking about people that have bickered with, like, Woody in the past. Woody and Keemstar have had beef in the past.
I don't understand
and
that.
And so... I don't know all the specifics of it, but I know that the Keemstar guy made fun of Woody's kid and said some cruel things there, and so Woody has not been a fan of him since.
If you put your children on the internet, shit like that is gonna happen. People are assholes.
Yeah, it's expected from, like, Big Boob Lover 69. Who's going to comment on your video, you know?
Oh, I guess it's another YouTuber.
But if it's another content creator...
Yeah, that is...
Who's maliciously going after you. Like, you can't put anything on the internet without some cunt coming up and commenting. But that's just a commenter. That is to be expected.
And tons of people don't see that.
Yeah, you can't play the victim if you're like, oh my god, you know, Steve Johnson with 7 followers tweeted at me that I should go fuck myself. Like... Get off the internet, you pussy. Like, that's going to happen. But if there's a content creator who's maliciously trying to make fun of you and be crude, especially to someone in your family, it's a lower blow.
Yeah,
so yeah,
that's
they
different.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking that it would be funny to bring back Lefty and Wings, because I mean, at least people who follow PKA know who they are. So that'd give me a leg up on name recognition.
I listened to it when Wings was on it.
Yeah. Wings is hilarious. He's like, he goes off on so many tangents, and you never know what he's going to say next. He's great. Just a barrel of entertainment. And then I would bring Keemstar on as a funny kind of F you to Woody and Kyle. I don't know why I even took that route. I wouldn't even continue it. There'd be no point. Without Woody and Kyle, there is no PKA. Anyway, last week I talked about someone from Nazareth, and I got a message this week that says, Nazareth is real, you slut. Hey, Taylor, thanks for answering my question on the show. You're welcome. Yes, Nazareth is a real place. It's a very small town in Israel. Most of the buildings and street are relatively new, but there are some that are old. My dad owns a few souvenir shops. We sell frankincense, holy water, and holy dirt, and other Christian-related gifts.
That's cool.
Basically ripping tourists off. Nice. Nice. Are you and your dad Jewish? I would think so, because you live in Israel. So you're probably very, very good at marketing these holy water and holy dirts. I'm planning on starting a computer repair business. To answer your question, life in Nazareth is normal. It's a small, somewhat peaceful town, just like any other place, except a lot more stupid tourists wasting their money. that's awesome. That's really cool. I'd like to visit somewhere like that, but I think it would almost be disappointing, because the way you describe it, of like, oh, it's all new buildings. It's like, I don't want to go to Nazareth and see new buildings. I want to see mangers and straw laying about. I want to see people bartering for snake oil on corners, maybe a public execution or two, the Romans parading around, you know, controlling the area. Wouldn't that be neat?
No.
No?
No.
Why?
I want to see people living their life, not stuck in the old times. It's nice to hear that it's a nice, peaceful place, not a shithole where Romans are running around.
What do you mean a shithole? The Romans got a bad rap. they conquered that whole area. Super okay with gay people. They were the first to have like sewers and aqueducts and running water, like better medicine. They were tearing shit up, and then a bunch of dicks from, I guess, the Germanic tribes up there, a bunch of savages came down, ruined everything, set us back 1,000 years.
Good.
Why? We would have so much cooler shit if the Romans hadn't got overthrown.
I'm part German.
So? If you go back far enough, I got some German in there, I'm sure.
I'm like an eighth.
I'm an eighth. I made that up, and you can't prove me wrong.
Actually, I probably could, because the Mormons do enough genealogy that I could probably look you up in the system.
Oh, I find it and be like, you're actually only 1/16.
They do so much genealogy, they do it for other people too. Like,
yeah, Mormons are weird.
For their own families.
Mormons are very fucking weird, but their genealogy, like, I guess it started because they had to know what dead people to baptize, right?
Yeah, I've done those.
Yeah, you saved
creepy.
A couple souls there.
No, I did not. They don't exist anymore. They weren't there to make those decisions when they were alive, and they're not there to make them now. It was very strange.
Hmm.
But I only did it once.
Only once? What did you do?
Well, I did tons of them, but I only did it one time, because after that it just kind of creeped me out.
No, but what did you do? They were like, I'm baptizing you in the name of Tony Stevens, who died of
They don't tell you what they died
cock.
Of. they like, you wear these creepy white little outfits, jumpsuits. They're like jumpsuits. And then I was worried about my underwear showing through them because I was like 13 or something, and I didn't know what was going on, really. And then they tell us to wear these white jumpsuits in the temple, and it's really pretty in there and really quiet. And then they have this really strange, like, audience set up where the baptismal font is, and the baptismal font is like this big hot tub with with golden calves on the outside of it, and you go in and the water's warm, and they like dunk you for however many people you're baptizing.
Oh, so they don't even rebaptize a new person for every dead person. So they'll just be like, all right, I'm baptizing you for the whole Johnson family. There were six of them.
No.
Burned alive in a tragic accident.
No, they like raise their hand and then place their other hand on your head, and they say, I baptize you, blah, 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 blah. They say they have this little like teleprompter that they read, and then it has the name of the person, and then they dunk you, and then they bring you back up. They say the same thing over again. They say the next person's name, and then they dunk you. And
that
they
seems
do that,
like
however many people that you're baptizing for.
It seems like cheating. You shouldn't be able to rebaptize the same person for more and more and more and more people.
It's not.
You should have to switch them out every so often. you think God's getting fooled, you know?
I don't know. It's all very strange and kind of creeps me out. So I don't know. But that's what they do. That, I mean, yeah, it's a strange experience to go through when you're not even really a teenager yet.
Yeah. Yeah. That is weird. I'm glad I never had to be baptized for any dead people. I had to just be baptized for myself. And, you know, at least I'm not going to go to hell. So there's that. All right.
Whiskey dick.
Hey, Taylor, I'd like this to be anonymous, like the rest of the questions usually are. Yeah, they almost are all anonymous. Now, I'm an 18, nearly 19-year-old British lad who likes to go out and party with friends, but when I get too drunk, I get very flirty. Ooh! This leads to obvious things, but here's the thing. I have a hard time, pun unintended, getting it up. I wouldn't say this isn't a problem and don't get up. I would say this isn't a problem and don't get up to anything saucy when I'm drunk, but that's the only time I hang out with the majority of friends due to university and all. So my question is, what should I do about it? I'm fairly socially awkward and don't go to university myself just yet, but plan on going to do medicinal chemistry in a few years' time. I don't even know what that is. So what should I do to meet people without having the whole whiskey dick aspect to it? Sorry for the long letter. Just didn't want to miss anything out. P.S. You're an incredible storyteller and a comedian. P.S.S. Melissa's voice is cute as fuck, but she says some sadistic ass shit. Love you, mate. Oh, love you too. That was sweet. That was very nice of him, Melissa. Say thank you.
Oh, I hate my voice, but thank you.
You're all raising your shoulders, hunching down now. Nobody can see you. Nobody's you don't have to be embarrassed. You got a cute voice. So what advice? I would say probably if you plan on wanting a boner later in the night, you should probably drink less. So.
It happens to way more people than you think.
It can happen to anyone. Like, it's not...
It can happen to storytellers and comedians.
Yeah, it can happen to anyone at any time. Because it's not the way that... Like, it has nothing to do with you, man. It's just that's the nature of that. If you get hammered, like, physically, it's not going to be able to happen. Like that
it's good that that is the case because
it's like a safety
net. There'd be a lot more unwanted children in the world.
Yeah, it's like a safety net where it's like you are in a mood to make stupid mistakes, but your dick has been passed out for hours, whereas you're still moving, and so then it keeps you from doing dumb shit. So really, it's a blessing in disguise. Just drink a little less if you're going to be explaining or expecting to fuck. Like, it's not that hard.
Yeah, so this reminds me of that awesome episode that I love of Man Seeking Woman with Jay Buchel, or I don't know how to pronounce
that. That awkward little fuck who constantly talks like that. I'm awkward.
Stop
and
it. Goon is awesome. He's good in Goon. He's good in a lot of things.
I yell curse words from the stands.
Stop it. Stop.
He's not, I mean, Sean William Scott, the Goon, is my favorite character.
Well, yeah, because he's the main character, but yeah. Jay was good too. And Man Seeking Woman is hilarious when his, like, he gets drunk and he finally gets this girl to take home. And then he pulls his pants down and his dick is completely gone and he's looking for it. And he's like, where's my dick? Where'd I leave my dick? And he's calling the cab driver. Did I leave my dick in the cab? Did I leave my dick in the bar? Oh, it's so funny. Yeah. It's because that stuff happens. So
it's because
it's common.
Whiskey dick. Yeah. There's
I mean,
you
there's
shouldn't
a reason
feel bad.
There's a
the
name
fact,
for
yeah,
it.
The fact there's a saying about it and that every man out there who's ever drank ever can relate to that means that you shouldn't feel bad, man.
Like, but how? What does he do to meet people?
Just same exact thing. Go out to the bars if that's how you enjoy doing it, which it sounds like that's how you have a lot of fun. That's where your friends are.
Just drink less?
Just go out to the bars, and it depends what you're drinking. I would imagine that you're probably drinking, you know, if you're getting whiskey dick really often, you're probably drinking whiskey or liquor. Maybe drink something lighter. Drink, you know, just stick to, like, Bud Light or something like that, and then you can, like, still give off the appearance of like, hey, I'm drinking just as much as you guys, but in reality you're not, because it's Bud Light and they're probably drinking, you know, whiskey Cokes or something like that. If not, just drink less, and you know, every once in a while, like every 45 minutes after every drink, go in the bathroom and then just kind of fluff yourself a little bit and be like, all right, you know, everything's looking good, you know, I'm fine, you know.
Fluff yourself.
Yeah, just fluff. Just go in there and fluff yourself, you know, get up to, actually, no, you can't just fluff yourself, because then you'll just get up to like 60% and you'll just assume that you're fine. But it's like trying to, you know. Yeah,
so he's just got to go and, like, how long
It's like
long
trying
does
to thread
take?
A needle with al dente spaghetti. It's not going to work. It's going to take a lot of determination, and even if you get it in there, you're going to wonder what was the point. So, yeah, you're going to have to go in there and get yourself to, like, 100% erect every 45 minutes or so. And then just be like, okay, I'm good to go. Then you go back out, have another drink, go back in, repeat. I think that's good advice.
I don't know where you come up with your analogies sometimes, but you do it all the time. It's not just on the podcast.
What, coming up with comparisons?
Yeah, they're always really good. And I'll be caught off guard by it because I won't be expecting you to make a metaphor, and then you'll make a really good one, and I'll just be cracking up for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. It perfectly explained a situation. So, first and foremost, you shouldn't feel bad, like I've said. Next, every 45 minutes or after every drink, however long it takes you, go in there and masturbate a little bit. And don't finish. Don't be gross. Just get hard, make sure it's working, and then just let it go back down and go back out, you know?
Oh, but do watch Man Seeking Woman. It's so funny, and it's really weird. So if you like weird stuff, I mean, nothing can be weirder, much weirder than Super Jail.
Yeah, Super Jail is fucking weird.
I love it, though.
All right.
And Aqua Teen.
Well, Taylor, I'm 16 turning 17 shortly and a junior in high school. I need help with this girl. We had a class together last year and came to know each other. She's on dance team and I'm in band, so we see are basically always around each other during football season. What?
So you see.
No, it says so we see.
But it says that, but you can just say so we are basically always
around
each other.
Okay, so we're always around each other during football season. But during practice, the band and dance team are never together for water breaks, and I hardly say anything on Friday nights. I don't have her Snapchat. Okay, so you're not talking to her during practice. You're not talking to her during the games on Friday nights. I don't have her Snapchat or number, but I DM'd her about something and gave her mine and said, text me if you have any more questions. I have a feeling like she kind of likes me back because when we see each other in the halls, she is the one who most of the time says, hey, first. But if this was true, wouldn't she text me? Anyway, what's a way I could get to talk, hang out more with her outside of football season before next year? I just started listening to the podcast after episode 11 was released, so I would just listen while playing Fallout. Love what you do for PKA. Call me a slut. You're a slut. I mean, this is a pretty easy one, man. Like, you DM'd her, but, like, I don't even have to give you advice on how to come into contact with this girl. You see her during practice, and you see her on Friday nights during football season. That's where you should be talking to her, you know, but I guess you said outside of football season before next year. I don't know. If she says hi to you in the halls, just stop and ask her for her number. People aren't going to say no to you when you ask for their number unless it's really, really uncomfortable and they don't like you. Have you ever turned somebody down who asked for your number?
I never had anybody ask for my number, really.
You gave me your number when I asked for it, right?
Well,
yes. So well, 100%.
That was a Skype conversation. That was.
Oh, that was on Skype. Whatever.
That's completely different.
Yeah. So as far as. Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't fail. Like, going and asking someone for their number, just make something up. Make up an event. Or talk to some of your guy friends and be like, hey, we should throw a party or something. We should do this and that. We should go bowling. The event doesn't fucking matter. Just be like, hey, we might be going to do something this weekend, me and my friends. Would you and your friends or whoever you guys want to join, you want to do something? Let me grab your number. I'll shoot you a text if we end up doing anything. Just something like that. Just something real easy.
Some people are just really, really friendly. So when a girl makes an effort to say, hey, walking down the hallway, she may just be trying to acknowledge that she knows people.
That's possible.
Like, hey, I know that guy. Or she might think, oh, hey, that guy was nice.
Yeah, but don't kick him while he's down. You know, he's
not down.
No, he's feeling down though. Otherwise, he wouldn't have asked for advice about it. Like he's feeling a little more hopeless about it. So, all you can just talk to her the old-fashioned way. Walk up to her at school and ask for her number. You know, it depends on your personality how you want to go with it. Whether or not you think you should just come out and be like, hey, you know, we're gonna do something this weekend. Give me your number. I'll let you know what we're up to. Or, you know, say if you allude to something that you're going to do, don't make it sound like, hey, you know, I'm going to be hanging out at my place. Let me get your number. I'll let you know and you can come over. Hey, I'll come over to your house. Like, always make it seem like a group thing. It's much more comfortable for people to feel like they're getting involved in a group
but
thing
only
where there's no commitment or responsibility.
Only invite them if you can sound as confident as Taylor does. Because if you invite them and you don't sound...
Hey, do you
like
wanna?
Taylor?
Do you wanna? I don't know. Bye. Like, just no. Just he's a normal guy. Most people don't have that much trouble just saying hello.
Well, speaking from experience, I'm that way. So
yeah, you are more like that than I am. Don't listen to her 100% of, oh, you have to be super suave and smooth. Because I'm not like that. Like, not everybody's not like that all the time. You should just...
You know. Are, though.
No,
you lie.
No, you're the fibber.
I take him places where, like, my family likes Taylor more than they like me. Because he's so just, I don't know, approachable I don't know.
Charismatic and approachable
and funny, and so they immediately are just like, oh yeah, I like hanging around this guy. Where'd Melissa even find this person?
Yeah, exactly. Name three more flattering attributes about me.
Oh, I'm thinking of physical ones because I'm looking at you.
I was just saying that because it was funny hearing you laud me for all these things. Well, I'm not good at taking compliments, so thank you very much for that. But to you, sir.
Well,
give it a go.
Makes me angry more than anything.
What?
Because you're just too good at things.
That's not true. All right, let's move on to one more. Best
you
of luck with that.
You want me to name some you're not good at?
Not good at remembering which towel to use in the bathroom.
No, you've been really good at that.
Yeah.
Lately.
Do you want to read one of these?
Sure.
Read this one.
I couldn't think of anywhere else except the PKA subreddit to send this, so I'm sending it here. I made sure to remember paragraph breaks to make it a little easier for you, even though it's not a lot of writing.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you. So, to set the premise, I'm a 16-year-old male who is still a virgin, no surprise there, and I'm 70% sure I'm bi. I have a male friend who has been going out with some chick for a couple weeks, and they have invited me to a threesome. Oh my god. The problem is I still haven't lost my virginity, and I'm not sure if I should wait until I have lost it properly with one person in a committed relationship before I have a threesome, or just do it and get a cool story losing my virginity in a threesome.
This is the second guy, and I remember the username of the first guy, so I know they're different. This is the second guy in like 3 weeks who has sent a message about being pretty sure he's bi and being invited into a male-female-male threesome.
Oh, brother.
How is this happening to you guys? Like, how are you just getting invited to threesomes as a 16-year-old?
They could live in another country.
I think the other guy was like 15 or maybe 17, 19.
Yeah, but they could
know.
Live in another country.
They might. I don't know. Well, you're 70% sure you're bi. That would suck if you got into it and then, like, you and your... male friend, like, you were maybe doing some DP action and you're... dicks were touching or something, and then you realized you were not into it at all. But it's better that way than to, you know, have a dick in your mouth and be like, well, yeah, it's not for me, you know. Well, I'm gonna finish you, of course. I'm not rude. Like, I'm not gonna leave you in the cold. Yeah, this if you want advice for this, I should have screened this before I told you to read it, but exactly what I told the other guy 3 weeks ago. Just go for it, man. Go for the cool story. I don't know what the fuck is going on with all of you guys out there where you're kind of bisexual and you're getting invited to threesomes. Like, this is an anomaly.
People are being sexually liberated like the Romans. You should be happy about it.
I'm not mad about it. Like, I'm if it were a guy who was like getting invited into a threesome with two like of the cheerleader girls at his school, I'd be like, oh, you lucky fuck. But like, I don't want to be in a threesome with another man present. Like, a devil's threesome? That's risky business.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's not all that it's cracked up to be, that's for sure.
With another man?
Like, I don't know, because I've never had a threesome, but I mean, it can't be. Like, it's just, why bother? Why worry about two other people? Like, most people can't even have sex with one other person, so why would you be worrying about having sex with
What do you mean most people can't people? Have sex with one other person?
Like, they can barely please one other person. Like, why would you want to have sex with two other people? It's like, I don't know. It's just, why waste the effort?
I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're going for a story or something like that, it would make sense.
I mean, if you don't give a fuck about what happens to you during or after, it's like, then what? Why not? I guess. I just
it's
don't
a different
see
if
it,
it's a different perspective
point.
For a man and a woman, because a man, like, you have to work to get into a situation to have two women who are willing to fuck you at the same time. Like, you have to work. You have to work that. As a woman, if you're reasonably good looking or even average, you can go out to a bar and have a threesome with two dudes any fucking time you want. Like, just go up to him and be like, hey, buy me a drink. I was thinking that you two would follow me back to my place and fuck me. And they'd be like, all right. Like, well, this night really, you know, turned out great, they're going to think.
I guess. I don't know.
It's just a different perspective. Anyway.
It just never appealed to me.
Let me see. We'll do one more, okay? Am I the asshole for blocking this girl? Oh, wait, no. Let's not do that one, because that's similar to one that we did earlier. All right. He's looking for my land down under. Great. Now that I have your attention, benevolent...
Hoes, not he's.
Oh, hoes looking for my land down under. great.
Another bisexual question. He's looking for my land.
Yeah. I'm just falling into a habit. All my listeners are bisexual. It's a crazy coincidence. Benevolent Monsieur, I will bid you my inquiry. Actually, what fucking year are you writing this from? actually, first, obligatory muchas gracias for being a pick a language. For being a badass, hilarious cunt, love Truly Terrible and PKA, looking forward to the next rendition every week. I don't give a flying fuck about anonymity, the name's Ryan, time to dive in. Well, hello, Ryan. Appreciate the compliments. So, as we all know, the teenagers these days love their social media. I like how you say that, like, you're on the outside looking in, like, yeah, damn kids, you know, doing their twits. Well, lo and behold, a new brand of social media has arisen named After School, like Yik Yak, but for pussy high schoolers. I don't know what Yik Yak is.
Oh, God.
Do you know what Yik Yak is?
No, I don't.
I'm not
I don't
going...
know what Periscope is.
I need to
I
look up...
I don't know what Snapchat
I'm not
is.
I know what Snapchat is, because a lot of my friends have it. Yik Yak. I need to look it up, because otherwise I'm not going to be able to know what it is.
I just got on Instagram like a year ago.
Yik Yak. Get a live feed of what everyone's saying around... Is this Twitter?
Hey, no, that's actually more interesting than Twitter, because it's people, like, in proximity to you. But I don't like keeping the location on my phone, so why would you...
So I have to enter my cell phone in here, and then I'll become a Yik Yakker. I don't know. I'm just going to assume that it's similar to Twitter, because I don't want to fucking research this right now. But for pussy high schoolers, now I've been getting a good amount of posts about people being into me, wanting to fuck me, etc., etc. You know the deal. Problem is, the posting is anonymous. So now I know I got some chicks interested in my goods, or perhaps a couple of trolls who are trying to make you overconfident, only to smash you down in the end and try and humiliate you. Never look past that possibility. But have no manner as to how discover who they may be. How the flying fuck do I figure out who these ready-to-mingle singles are, almighty Merca, son of God? Really quick on me, I have had a few girlfriends in the past, but never done the dirty deed. Oh, that's unfortunate. Doesn't say how old you are, but I'm sure you're a decently young guy. Not really shy in general, but when it comes to flirting and such, I suck. I don't know how to show my interest in other people beyond blatantly saying so. Maybe I'm just being a pussy for not blatantly saying so, but I do come from a fairly small school and a small town. All tips and tricks are appreciated. However, thanks for taking time out of your day to read this Dear Abby message. no need to address the question on Truly Terrible, but it would be an honor if you did. By the way, I hope you enjoy the paragraph breaks. I know you get off on them. You did an excellent job formatting this, by the way. However, if you missed this, fuck you. Just kidding. Don't read that one on air. I'm sorry. I just did. Okay, love you. Bye. From Ryan. How would you, I don't know, this is interesting. I've never used a site that you can look and get compliments anonymously where someone wants to bang you. Like,
you
what?
Should get off of it and don't use it again, because that sounds awful.
No, like, there's possibility here. He's either being trolled or he could get his dick wet. So you always pursue that.
I don't know. I don't want to think about teenagers getting their dicks wet. It's just kind of disturbing.
Well, I'm not actively thinking about it, but we're trying to help them help it happen.
I know. I don't want to help them have sex. Teenagers should not have sex.
What? Are you going to go into the bedroom after this and put on your bonnet and long black dress? Your rosary beads?
No, I just think that I was too young, and I think other teenagers are too young, and it's like, I don't want to think about them having sex. It's gross.
You don't have to, but we can help them here. What would you do if you were getting messages and you were like, imagine you're a guy, first of all, so it's actually a challenge to get laid, and it's not something that you can just get whenever you want. Imagine that you think about it constantly, you always want it, and you get a scent of it. And you're like, I can follow this like a bloodhound, and maybe the end game will be pussy. On Yik Yak, you know, it's pussy on the horizon, you know, and so you gotta seek it out.
Well,
what would you do?
I don't think somebody that would go and do that, like say, oh, I want your dick or whatever, like, is somebody you should pursue. I don't know. I don't know anything. Obviously, yeah. Because I'm a girl, and I was, even as a girl, I was never good at picking up anyone anyway. I had to go on the internet. to find you.
Yeah, you did. You did.
I'm not good at it.
Let me see.
This is
really hard to answer because I don't fully understand what Yik Yak is. I don't know. I guess if you have a good feeling about who it could be, then just go up and start a casual conversation with them about anything. Not about Yik Yak, where it's like, hey, noticed you were getting wet for me online Thursday night, you know, during American Idol. Just go up and start a casual conversation. And with any luck, you'll find out who it is just by context clues, or maybe they'll give you a vibe of, I'm glad this guy's talking to me. Like, oh, maybe he did see that Yik Yak. I Yik Yaked him, and he's all about it.
Imagine if it's like okay, imagine if it's the fat chick that no one wants to bang in the classroom that's sending them to you. And she really does feel like that. Like, would you be interested then? Would you want to pursue that? Like,
you probably would.
Because if I was a fat chick, if I was ever a fat chick in high school and I liked somebody and I found this anonymous social media to tell somebody that I like them, like, that'd be kind of exciting. I'd be like, oh, I don't have to slip a note in their desk or their locker or whatever. I can literally just send anonymous email messages, things, and they'll never know it was me. And I mean,
I'm just hesitant about this whole thing because I know if this existed when I was his age, I would have fucked with all of my guy friends who I knew were horny and desperate.
Yeah.
Would have sat at home and, like, sent long messages giving them fake clues about who was interested in them. Like, just to fuck with them. That's really mean-spirited, but I guarantee that the me who was 16 or 17 would have done that. Yeah, just give it a go. Start chatting with whoever you think it could be. Try and gauge the context clues. But certainly don't go up way too overconfident, just like assuming that, you know, the sexy girl in your class is the one who's yik-yakking you.
And don't think that, like, being blatantly honest about showing your interest in people is bad, because that's actually really good, I think, to let somebody know up front that you're interested in them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good. I think also...
You were like that.
Yeah. I'm very upfront
with
things. I think that if nothing else, you don't even have to feel like your pool is relegated to these couple of girls who want to fuck you on Yik Yak, maybe. Just use those compliments and that as like a surge of confidence to fuel you through other endeavors and discussions and conversations with chicks that you may or may not be interested in fucking in the first place. But just if nothing else, just use it as a confidence boost. That's it. That's the biggest thing to garner from this. Just use it as a confidence boost, kind of let it roll off your back and be like, yeah, if something happens, it happens. But if not, I know that I'm hot enough that a couple girls want to blow me. Anyway, so that's it for this week. Melissa, thank you for joining me on the second half.
Oh, yeah.
You said that so quiet, it didn't really pick up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining me on the podcast this week. Melissa came, and next week, you know, we're having a good time as well. Maybe Tucker will come on. But hopefully you guys have a good rest of your week. Jericho. He comes on PKA. He's a really cool guy.
Oh.
I've known him for quite a while. Anyway, that's it. Love you. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye.